But as the tradition grew, it went way beyond that. And at the end of the meal then, they had to wash their hands as well, but they lifted him up and poured water over him. And they had to lift him up because, and this is tedious, and I don't even know how you could walk through all of this and know what was going on. But the water had to run from your fingers to your hands and then down. It had to touch the wrist. If it didn't touch the wrist, your hands weren't clean. And if you tipped your hands down and the water happened to run from the palm of your hand to your fingertips, it wasn't clean either. And so you had to do it in a very special way. And then it went beyond, way beyond that. The more devout you were and the more serious you were about Christianity, the more times that you washed your hands through a meal. And so many of the devout religious leaders washed their hands between every course of the meal. They would ceremoniously wash their hands in this very special way. And this is what Jesus is referring to as he's talking about this to the children. There was a special way that they had to go about and cleanse their hands. Verse 4, when they came from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups and pitchers and copper vessels and couches. And so it went way beyond the hands. I just explained the hands thing, but it went way beyond that. And it carried over into a lot of other things. Then the Pharisees and scribes ask him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? And he answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, the people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things. You do. He said to them, all too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother. He who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, I'm going to skip those verses. 13, making the word of God no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. Powerful scripture of Jesus speaking into the fact that we as people have a tendency to take the traditions that we hold to and lift them up and actually nullify the Word of God by the traditions that we practice and keep. That's something powerful that we need to get a hold of and be aware of. Turn your Bibles yet to Isaiah. Jesus was quoting Isaiah. I went back to Isaiah and began reading the verses around the scripture that he was quoting. And I want to read these verses this morning as well. Isaiah 29, verse 9. Pause and wonder. Blind yourselves and be blind. They are drunk, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with intoxicating drink. And what he's talking about, I'm unpacking some verses before this and actually some verses after this. They're drunk, they're staggering, but it's not with wine. It's with spiritual paralysis. It's with not having a clear direction at all spiritually. They didn't know where they were headed. They were staggering back and forth. Wasn't with drink, it was spiritually. For the Lord has poured out on you the spirit of deep sleep. I want you to get a hold of that and let these words sink in. And has closed your eyes, namely the prophets. He has covered your heads, namely the seers. And the whole vision or the revelation, the law, the word of the Lord has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one who is literate, saying, read this. And he says, I cannot, for it is sealed. Then the book is delivered to one who is illiterate, saying, read this. And he says, I am not literate, I can't read it. Therefore, the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. That's pretty powerful. The fear of God is actually what's taught, and how we fear God and what the fear of God means actually is, we teach that, they were teaching it then, is actually just commandment of men. Therefore, behold, I will again do a marvelous work among the people, a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of the prudent man shall be hidden. And woe to those who seek deep to hide their counsel. And really, a better rendering of that would be, woe to those who seek to hide deeply their counsel far from the Lord. And he's actually referring back to what I said before in verse 13, is what they were saying with their mouth and what they were doing externally was really hiding the garbage that they had internally in their lives. Does that make sense? They were hiding the garbage of their lives, the internal world. They were hiding under the words that they spoke and the things that they did. They hid the internal under the cloak of the external. And Isaiah is saying in this scripture, woe to those who seek to do that. And their works are in the dark, and they say, who sees us and who knows us? Surely you think have things turned around. Shall the potter be esteemed as a clay? For shall the thing made say of him who made it, he did not make me? Or shall the thing formed say of him who formed it, he has no understanding? And he begins on talking. Let me just unpack a little bit of those verses. Really, if I can turn it around, and I think I'm being true to Scripture when I say this. Actually, let me move on. I want to explain a couple things. Tim, can you put that other slide up, please? Let me make one comment back about the Matthew passage yet. The Pharisees were more concerned about the breaking of the tradition of the elders than they were about what was going on in the hearts of their people. And Jesus took offense to that. He was more concerned about breaking just things that were not scriptural, that they had put in place throughout the years, and the Pharisees were offended by that. And Jesus is saying, wait a minute, we need to be concerned about what's going on internally and be concerned about the heart. So we have this thing going on back then, and like I said before, it's going on today. And it's happening, it's a thing with us as people. And sometimes we can be hard on us as Mennonites, and we can be hard on Baptists, we can be hard on Catholics because of their tradition. I've rubbed shoulders lots with Catholics through the years. And we can be hard on them in their things, but the reality is, we all find ourselves in this place that he's talking about here, and it's an extremely dangerous place to live, because the reality, what ends up happening, this is how we should be living our life right here. Our doctrine and theology should be first in our lives. It's what we believe about God and who he is. Well, it's actually not what we believe. It's the truth about God. We can believe anything. It doesn't change the truth. But it's the truth about who God is and who we are as his creation. And his authority, the fact that he's a king and a ruler, he's our master and we're a servant. It's all those kind of things. It's our doctrine, it's the theology that we hold to and that we practice. Under that comes principles of Scripture that flow out of the doctrine and theology that we believe. It's all kinds of principles in Scripture. Headship is one. Modesty is one. We could go on and on about principles. Those are principles. And then out of the principles flow our applications and traditions. And before I go any farther, I want to say this. Jesus never, ever condemned the traditions of the Pharisees. Contrary to our opinion, he didn't condemn the traditions. In fact, let me read you a couple of verses that he says. Yeah, I'm going the wrong direction here. In Matthew chapter 23, said, "Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, 'The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do.'" But then he says this, "But don't do according to their works, for they say and do not do." Jesus never condemned the traditions or the applications of the Pharisees. What he did condemn is the fact that what they said and what they did and the internal stuff of their heart didn't line up. He said, "Do all that they tell you to do, but don't live your life like they live their lives. Don't follow the practices that they follow." And so this is a real thing. And out of this right here comes our denominations, really. Some of it comes out of our theology, but a lot of the denominational things comes out of how are we going to live out our theology and the principles that we find in Scripture. And really what this is unpacking here in Isaiah and what Jesus is saying is you have things reversed. Your application and your traditions are up top, and that's how you teach who God is. That's how you teach how to worship God. That's how you teach what to believe about God and what to think about God. And our traditions and our applications end up being up here, and our principles sort of follow that, and way down at the bottom is really our doctrine and theology. And Jesus said, Isaiah is saying in the book of Isaiah, when that happens, we're in big trouble because the Lord really puts us asleep. There's a deadness that falls on us and a sleep that comes on us. Isaiah says it's a spirit of deep sleep. When we fall into this trap, because when we do this, most times our hearts and what's going on inside and the external no longer match up. And when that happens, we're in big trouble because we fall asleep, we become drunk, we don't have a good sense of bearing of where we're going and how we're living our life. We don't have a good sense of Christianity and what it means to live our lives following the Lord. We lose our sense of bearing. There's nothing to ground us and to stabilize us. We sort of just wander around in life like a drunken person. The problem with this is living our lives this way. When we do that, when we ever wake up, and most of us do some point in our lives, if we ever wake up and realize that our applications and our traditions are not our theology, we tend to throw everything out the window. We lose everything because we're not grounded here. We're not grounded in doctrine and theology. We're not grounded where we need to be grounded. We've been grounded in our application and our traditions, and it's a very dangerous place to be. Because when we lose it, when we ever wake up and realize that this isn't how we're supposed to be living our lives, so often we have a tendency to jump ship. And not only do we lose our application and tradition, we also lose our principles. And many times, we also lose our doctrine and theology right along with that. And the reality is, it's not because the principles are wrong. It's not even because our application and tradition is wrong. Every church has a right. Every denomination has a right of saying, how are we going to live out our doctrine and theology, and how are we going to live out our principles? Jesus never condemned this right here. He did condemn this way of living. And so, a lot of times we lose our application tradition. We lose the principles that go along with it. We throw them right out the door. And then we also, a lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of times, unless we're serious about Christianity and serious about living the Christian life, we lose our doctrine and theology as well. And I believe it's time not only for us, it was time for way back the children of Israel in the book of Isaiah. It was true in the New Testament. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. It's true of us today. We have to make sure that what we do flows out of our doctrine and theology and the principles. We have to make sure that our own, and I'm talking about us as a church, but I'm talking about each one of us individually. Because if we're living out of this, if this is what we've been taught and this is what we've grown up with, we're living in very dangerous territory. It says when the Word of God is read, we can't even determine what it's saying. It's like giving it to Winston here and say, here, Winston, read this. And he says, well, I can't read. I can't understand it. And a person that can read, I can give it to Gerald. And he says, hey, it doesn't make any sense to me. Nothing makes sense to me. As I open up the Word of God, as I listen to it, and Jesus said it's because there's a sleep that has come across us. We're blind. We can't open the Scripture and really get out of it what God wants us to get out. And it's because we've switched things around. Jesus, in the scripture that I was talking about, Jesus condemns two things. And I unpacked it and I want to talk about it. I've mentioned it a couple times. But in those scriptures, Jesus condemns two things. One is that our internal and our external don't match. And in Isaiah, he says the same thing, but he says, you use the external to hide the internal. And he condemns those things. And the second thing is that we put the traditions of men way above the commands of the Lord. And that's true of many of us. It's true of my own life. I was sitting here. I actually had to repent as a pastor as I was unpacking this in the last weeks, because I'm not sure that some of my teaching totally flows out of this line right here. Because what I teach has to come out of, I need to understand who God is. I need to know who He is. I need to know what it means for me to be a follower of His. I can't just blindly follow something and expect everything to come around. I have to know. I have to know what it means for me to be a servant of Him, to be a follower of His. I have to know that. I have to know how the application, the principles then that flow out of it. What does it mean that I'm a servant of the Lord? Well, that means that I can't follow what I want to follow. I have to follow what He wants to follow. And there's all kinds of principles that He has put in place in Scripture that I need to understand how this flows together, and then that guides me in the next part of it. That guides me in my application. It guides me in the traditions that I'll set up, that we set up as a church. It'll guide us in the traditions that we set up in our families. Because you have traditions in your families as well that you go through and that you hold to and that you want to see your children following. But those things need to come out of our doctrine and theology and out of the principles then that flow out of what we believe of the Lord. And it's a call on our lives as men and as adults and as people that we come back to this right here as being number one, that we're concerned about it, that we know what doctrine is, good, sound doctrine, true doctrine, Doctrine basically just means what you teach. And that what we teach is sound and true. And our theology is right on. Because it's important for us. In the same way our operating system is important, we also need to be able to follow through and get this in proper perspective, or we're living in very dangerous territory. I tell you what, I also know, as I was reading that passage in Isaiah, I also know what it's like to read Scripture and not have a clue what it says. And I was thinking about that. How much does that flow out of? I mean, I spent a lot of years reading the Bible that it was just a habit. I didn't get much out of it. I just did it. The only thing I got out was what someone else wrote about it. That's what I would get out about it. But to open Scripture and have it unpacked, or have it opened up and open my eyes in new ways. And I don't know what that's all about, but I'm wondering if some of it wasn't this in my life. Speaking of this too, I talked in a message back, actually I think I preached it a couple of times here. A lot of times there's no difference sometimes between the ultra-conservative and the ultra-liberal. And it's because of the mentality by which we live our lives. And this is the reason. Because many times we leave a conservative, and I'm not talking about conservative church necessarily, I'm talking about conservative thinking. That can happen in our... that can happen across the board. It can happen in politics. It can happen wherever. But we leave an application, traditions-based way of living in a conservative setting, and we go to a liberal setting, and many times we don't change anything. It's still all about, we just change the application and the traditions that we follow, but this is still the thing that we're more concerned about breaking than we are about breaking the commandments of the Lord. And that's what Jesus was really getting after when he says this. We're more concerned about, not about on the liberal side of things, about not following the fads of the world because we might get laughed at. That's traditions of men. Fads are just traditions of men. That's all it is. If I don't have whatever, and I'm not harping on those things. What I'm harping on is that we live our lives out of a tradition and an application basis. That's the thing. Because when we do that, we can be anywhere in any tradition. We can be in any church of any application, and we still live out of that. We're more concerned about breaking that than the fact that Jesus says, love each other, be gracious to each other. On and on, the commands of God in Scripture. We're more concerned about our traditions than we are about following the Lord. And I believe for us as people, if we ever want to be able to live out of an operating system that is controlled by the Spirit of God, it's easy. It's one thing to stand up and say we need to do that. But what does that mean? And I believe this is also a part of it that we need to understand. If we want to live controlled by the Spirit of God, we have to be able to flow out of this part over here, not this over here. If our applications is what we do as a church, if what we do as Mennonites, if we're more afraid of breaking that than the commands of God in Scripture. And Jesus told the Pharisees, you break a host of commands. There's a lot of commands that you break. There's many such things that you do. He's talking about them breaking the commands of Scripture. And we need to come back to obeying the Lord. and obeying the commands of the Lord. And out of that, the Spirit of the Lord will then begin to move in our lives and work in our lives and lead us and direct us. And Scripture will be opened up to us in greater ways. Because we won't have that, as Isaiah said, that spirit of sleepiness over us. And I believe it's a call for us individually. It's a call for us as a body of believers to come back to that. I want to live my life where doctrine and theology is foremost, and principles and application and tradition flows out of that. We have to be able to go back to that. I believe that's the heartbeat of Jesus, actually. We do what we do because of who God is and who He is in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we heard some pretty scathing words that Jesus had for the Pharisees. And Lord, sometimes in my own life, in my own heart, I find myself at the same place. I wrestle with the same things. And Lord, I believe it's because we're all made of the same stuff. And it's so easy for us to look at the Pharisees and to be judgmental and condemning. And to say, wow, did they ever have it mixed up? But Lord, I know in my own life I do too sometimes. Lord, I pray that you would forgive us from not being faithful to you, not being faithful to your word, to the commands that you have placed upon our hearts and our lives. Jesus, we want to walk according to your Spirit. We want to walk according to your truth. I don't know where we're at this morning. I don't know where you're at. Maybe you feel like there's sort of a sleep that has come over. Maybe you realize you've been operating sort of as traditions first. That's more important to you. It's more important what people think than what God thinks. This morning, I just want to give an opportunity as well. I'm not going to ask you to come up this morning. I'm just going to ask if the Lord has spoken to your heart in any way. Just be faithful in raising your hands and acknowledging that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Father, you see our hearts. There's nothing here that is not hidden from you. You see how we act externally. You see what's going on internally. And Lord, it grieves your heart when those two don't match up. And Lord, we don't get it right. We acknowledge that. We're not perfect. But Lord, we need you. We need you to give us strength, to give us courage, to fill us with your Spirit, to empower us to be able to live life in honesty and integrity. And Lord, we want to follow you with all of our hearts. And Father, you know the hands that were raised here this morning. Lord, I ask that you, in a very special way, would anoint them with your Holy Spirit right now as they process through what you're saying to them this morning. Lord, bless and anoint them. And for all of us, Lord, we want more of you. We want to be led more of you in deeper and greater ways. We're not satisfied with some of the ways that we've just been complacent in living our lives. Lord, stir in us a passion and a zeal and a heart for you in greater ways. Open our eyes that we may see you in greater ways as well. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.